The aim of child welfare is to protect children. We want children to be cared for. We want children to be protected. When we're speaking about care, children has to be attended to. When they are sick, physically, emotionally, they have to be attended to. They have to be taken to hospital. They have to be attended to. They have to get education. It's the responsibility of the caregivers to care for kids in that manner. And then even socially, they have to be integrated with other children. They have to be given a chance to play, because other parents will just abuse children by giving them chores that are too much for them. So, and as well, others are abusing them sexually. We have children that are abused sexually, physically, a lot. So in the law world, child welfare is there to look at those things. We have children that are abandoned, neglected. We are looking at all those.
Who is your team at Child Welfare Nelspruit?
At the moment, we have 5 in 10 social workers. They are graduates. They have honors, all of them. They are working with us. So they take all the cases that the other social workers are taking, 5 in 10 social workers. And then we have 2 social workers that have been there for some time. They have experience. And then we have the supervisor or the manager. The manager as well has a background of social work. And then we have the social auxiliary worker that also assists us as well in gathering the information, so that we can be able to write reports, because we do a lot of court work. So at court, we have to go with reports that are very, very thick. So it's a lot of work when we want to assist the children. Because in many cases, we try to let the kids be in the same place. Like the kids has to be with the family of origin. Because we have that saying that there's no place like home. We try. So if the parents are not doing the good job raising the child, we try to empower them. But sometimes it's worse. So the fact that we have to remove the children from their care. It's when people are taking drugs and they don't care of the kids. Sometimes when they don't take care of the kids are always hungry. The parents are not even caring about that. They don't even want to assist their children with their schoolwork, and all children are failing at school. They are constantly in distress. So we intervene in those. And there are children that are being abandoned. Sometimes we, at the moment, our high caseload is babies that are abandoned. A mother will just give birth. They just run away from hospital. They leave the babies. Before this COVID, before the 2 years, yes, last year and now, we used to have 1 child maybe in 6 months in terms of abandonment. But these days, this month, this year, last year, we're having like 5 in a month.
No.
I'm telling you, 5 in a month abandoned. So it's very, very hard. It's a lot of work for the social workers. I'm so grateful for the social workers that we have that spend their sleepless nights. They do their reports at home because we can't cope with the demand at the moment. So people are not sleeping. We are busy because we want to save the children.
What area do you serve?
We serve the area of Nelspruit and surroundings. We go to up to halls, Matafen, all that area inside town, and then we go to up to Penryn, all that area inside town. We go to Carino, that cross to the airport, and to Kanyamazan. There we go up to there.
But you are severely understaffed.
Hey, we are understaffed. We are understaffed, but we try. We try. Just that the demand is very high. And especially the kids that are having behavior problems because of the distress that they have. So the demand is very high. The schools are referring the kids, the behavior problems, the kids that are, but most of them, they're not well cared for.
I see. So how do child welfare get involved? Is it a school that has to contact you?
It is the school, it is the concerned community members, it is the kids themselves. Sometimes it's the family members. Like, for instance, when the father and the mother passed away, then they come and report that we have this orphan child. Please assist in terms of legalizing the new placements. So we are busy with that. And it's so sad when other community members are feeling that, you know what, I don't want to talk about something that is happening next door as long as my kids are safe.
Yeah.
Because it takes a village to raise a child. So we depend so much on the community to tell us. Like, we do receive the reports that are coming from the community and from the school as well. The school is always our main source, because that's where the kids are, and they can see that this child is not well cared for, the child is full of sores, or the child has been raped. They can see the way the child is relating to other kids. Then they contact child welfare. But it's a lot.
And also for behavioral problems.
Yes, for behavioral problems. Sometimes the other kids, you can't control them at all. They are full of anger. They are full of whatever, bullying other children. In most cases, it's because of the underlying issues. So we try and go there and assist. And sometimes we have to place them to outside School of Industries. To up to Standerton. So we have to travel to Standerton. We're doing the panels with the other social workers there. So every school holidays, they have to come back. Maybe when we try to reintegrate them with their family and with their home. But when the schools are opening, we have to take them again to Standerton, which is a lot of money. And when we have to take kids to the children's homes, we go to Belfast, we go to Falkirk. But we have to transport all those kids because we don't have enough children's homes this side.
I see. So what is the process when you get a complaint or information about a child in any case, kind of distress? What happens?
Sometimes it will be a community member phoning us. And then I want to remain anonymous. But there's this child next to me. Or there's this child, the family is living next to me. I can see this child, these children are not going to school. They are being beaten. I suspect sexual abuse, or maybe they already told that particular person because they know the person. Then we know that we have to protect our informants, and then we have to start the process. We'll go to the home. We will see if that is true, because some other time other people are becoming spiteful and then they're lying. And sometimes it will be in a divorce case where people are fighting, and then they'll be spiteful. Yeah, he took the child and the child is crying. Now when the child has to go back because there is a new mother, so we know those trends.
So first the social workers go and investigate,
yes,
verify.
Then we investigate. We verify, then we start with the court processes.
You start with court processes,
yes.
Immediately?
We start with court processes immediately. Because sometimes you find that the child is being uncared for, or the child is being abused. The child has to be removed today. So we have the interim order. You remove the child, you place the child somewhere, and you don't sleep. Because the following morning, you have to report that at the court. And the court will have to have all documents, the reports of the social workers. So you can't just sleep and think, I'll be able to submit tomorrow, because that thing has to be a legit document that will be used by lawyers as well to question you as a social worker.
Are there cases when you don't remove children from care, even if there's a problem at home?
When we see that there's a possibility of empowering the family, then we don't remove them, because we can see that, okay, this is not too much. We can be able to empower these people so that they can do good, because no one is training people. Whenever you are taking your child, you take them to a specialized person, a pediatrician. When you take them to school, you won't just take them to a mom that ended school in grade 7 and never went anywhere. You want somebody who is specializing in teaching. They have a degree or a diploma, they were trained. But when we give birth, no one is training us, you just become a mom. So with other people, it comes naturally. With other people, they have to get skills. So we teach them as well, because what we want is for the children to be within their family. But again, if it's
the first
worse,
prize.
Yes, that's the first prize for us.
But sometimes neglect is a result of ignorance.
Yes.
And not malice.
Yes. And then with other times, it's because of poverty. And the mother or the father is stressed already because they lost their job in 2020, COVID. They don't know how to pay the rent. They don't know what to do to get money to take care of their kids. Then that can be a neglect as well, coming from that. And now they can't drive. Maybe let's say you're living in 8 gig, you can't take your kids to school. It's not because I don't want to. It's because I don't have the means to. So we try and intervene in a way that will assist them.
How do you fund these activities?
Yeah, that is a very tedious one. The activities, we depend on the companies and the people of the Lowveld. The companies of Nelspruit has been very faithful to child welfare. We receive the money from them. They donate their old clothes. Sometimes they buy new clothes. They drop in the office. We need nappies and milk. To fund those, we get the money from the people of the Lowveld. Usually, previously, before COVID, we used to have Amazing Race. This station used to assist us a lot advertising Amazing Race.
Of course.
And sometimes it would be Golf Day. This station as well has been so helpful to us when we're having those two causes. Those are the two main fundraisers of child welfare, supported by the companies and the people of the of Nelspruit. So now, since 2021, with the lockdown and all the restrictions, we didn't do it last year, we didn't do it this year, so we've lost a shortfall of like 400,000-500,000. And then it's strenuous. The money that we were receiving from there, we paid the rates, we paid the petrol, we paid for the cars, we serviced the cars and the telephones and all those things, like, and to buy for the kids. We have to do the uniform, we have to do the stationery. The money is only coming from people of here, of the Nelspruit. We were lucky at times where we received money from Lotto because we were paying for the services with that money as well. Because even the office, we have to have, like, simple thing, like the security. The cars has to have trackers. So all that money has to come from there, nowhere else. So with the Lotto, it was helpful as well and with the people. And now we don't receive that. And then the Department of Social Development is assisting us a lot with the salaries.
Right, so yes. They pay the social workers, employ the social workers.
Yes, but a portion. So we still have to fundraise there. Because we don't want to give the social workers a very little amount, because we want to compete a little bit, because we know that it's difficult. They have families as well. They have to take care of their kids. So we fundraise. On top of the money that the department is giving us, we have to fundraise so that their salaries are at least better.
How do you and the Department of Social Development support each other or work together?
Mm. The Department of Social Development as the main donor in our organization. They want to look at all the processes. Are we doing them the correct way? The processes, are we doing them the correct way? Or, like, for instance, there are policies and procedures and the acts that we have to follow. So as the Department of Social Development, they have to see that we follow all those procedures. And then they fund us.
So they oversee you in a way?
Yes, they are oversee in a way. Because when you subsidize somebody, you have to be transparent. You have to follow and see if that money you gave is used according to what we applied for.
Of course.
Yes. So we are always transparent to all the citizens of Nelspruit, because they donate in one way or the other. So we are transparent to them as well. Anytime you want to see what is it that you do with your funds, you are more than welcome. We have nothing to hide.
We have touched a little on how COVID has affected the need
yes.
for your services.
Yes. Hey, COVID has pulled us out of our track. In terms of the incoming money, we struggle a lot. We really need, because to be able to render the service, we need the money. We can't just go to Mapane and say we need nappies, because they also in business. So we have to have people who will be able to say, I can't take the children to my care, but I can be able to give money. But everyone was so scared last year. We were thinking we were dying. So everyone was holding on to what they had, because they didn't know if tomorrow I will still have a job or not. Is everything closing down? So we are struggling in terms of COVID. The results are so bad. And with COVID, the cases that are coming in are in the rise. So it's very hard for us to meet the demand.
So it's increased baby abandonment?
Yes. The behavior problems, the fights within families. So it's bad. Because other parents took their kids out of school. And when your child is out of school, there is so much of risk. And
they
the rape
took
cases,
out because of not being able to pay fees?
That and some, and the other ones are because they were too scared last year.
They for the virus.
Yes, safety from the virus. And then maybe there's an uncle that can see the child is not going to school. The rape cases are so high. I wanted to speak about that when we were at the 16 days of activism, but now it's here. The rape cases are so high. Incest, molest by family members. And the other lady was asking me, is it with any races maybe? I'm saying no, every human race. I don't talk about race of what and what. It's all human race, and it affects all human race. You see people, you see a beautiful person, dignified, but they rape their kids, eh?
Have you seen a big increase in pregnancies resulting
from
this?
Big increase in pregnancies of kids as well. We have kids that are pregnant, like 15 years old or 14 years old, pregnant. Who is the father? The biological father. It's sad. We have kids that are 7 years old, raped by the biological father. 7 years. So cases of rape are very high. And as I'm getting this opportunity, I'm just requesting that we talk about it. Out there, if you are listening to me, talk about it. These kids need our protection. They need our love. They need our care. But they are being violated by people that they trust the most.
What is your advice for the children to tell someone and for someone to phone you?
Yes, the children will have to tell us if there's anything like that. They have to talk to their teachers if there is anything like that. But the main thing that the main people I'm talking to are the people that are in power, the adult people. Let's work together. Let's protect the children. And let's not be negligent. Just leave your kids wherever you want to go there. You want to have fun. I know that we are struggling as adult people. We are struggling as well psychologically because of the demand and the stress. But we have to try and protect our children.
What do I do if I have suspicions about my neighbor? I don't want to get him in trouble if it's not true. And I don't want to get in trouble if it's not true. So maybe I suspect something, but I can't prove it, so I don't say anything.
I would advise that we talk about it. Talk about it, because if maybe there was nothing there, but you are suspecting something. If we talk about it, even if there was nothing and the person was just thinking to do that, they'll be scared because they will see that, hey, there might be something. If I'm continuing, there might be something. Because you can't suspect, and in most times, our instincts, they work a lot. If you suspect something, it's because you saw something wrong. So it's better to talk about it than to keep quiet.
we are in the 16 days of activism now. Mm. I think it's the 30th year that it's been going on. Do you think it makes a difference?
I like it because at least as we are talking now, we are marketing it. We are reminding people about the safety and protection of children and women. And as well, I always say the 16 days of activism against any kind of abuse, because we have other men that are being abused as well. Let's just involve them in this. We just have to protect each other. We have to respect each other. We have to respect the children. We have to respect women. We have to respect everyone else around us. During the 16 days of activism, we have to speak about it. Because there are people who are so negligent, they don't even listen to things, you see. But as we are talking about this, about it now in the radio, someone will say, oh, 16 days of activism, what is that? And then maybe they can go Google and they can read and they see the statistics. It's bad out there. Things are happening right under our nose. Children are being trafficked just right here. There's a seven-year-old that was stolen 2 years ago. It was before COVID. The child went to the shack shop to buy some bread, never came back even today. Now it's after 2 years, never came back. Think about the parent. It's not that one child. We have a statistic that is very high. All those things are happening right here.
What can the public do to help you to be able to carry on?
We just plead to the community of Nelspruit. We know you've been supporting our golf day. You know you've been supporting our amazing race. We need that money you were assisting us with. Even if we didn't have the amazing race, we didn't have the golf day, please contact us. We have our bank account. We are in number 10 MK Street. When you have clothes in your garage, please don't just dump things there. Talk to child welfare. Talk to us. Bring them. We are going to assist the community. When you have small clothes, smaller than your kids, please remember child welfare. We have a lot of kids. We have kids that are under our care that are more than 500, more than 600. So please assist.
Where can people phone you?
Our phone number is 013-753-3330. It's 013-753-3330.
If anybody wants that number as well, they can just send a WhatsApp to the studio number and we will send back the contact details. Is there, what number do I use if I want to report something?
This is the same number. Just phone child welfare during office hours. We need that. We need to work together to assist the children of the low field. Children are suffering. We really need each other. As child welfare, we are at the office. We're busy with the court reports. But we will put everything down for a child that is being abused.